Let's finish off our section on distributions of discrete data by talking about a very specific and popular discrete distribution called the binomial distribution. The best part about the binomial distribution, you've already seen an example of it. It's just now let's make it a little bit more formal. So for example, imagine you have a two-step random process where you flip a coin twice. And we'll call these flips independent. In other words, whatever you get on the first flip has no bearing on what the outcome is of the next flip of a coin. We can see that exact same experiment sort of written out here with our tree diagram. Flip a coin, 50-50 chance it gets heads or tails. Whatever you get, heads or tails, flip a coin again. Again, 50-50 chance you get heads or tails afterwards. But again, this is an example of what we call a binomial experiment. So let's make this formal. There are four properties of a binomial experiment. First, the experiment has to consist of a sequence of n identical trials. So for us, we flipped a coin two times. So our sequence of n trials was two identical trials, two coin flips. The next thing, the next property of a binomial experiment, is that each outcome can only have two possibilities, success or failure. So if property one says that we have a sequence of identical trials, property two is that each trial can only have two outcomes. The third property would be that the probability of a success does not change from trial to trial. And then last but not least, these trials are independent. Like I said, this is exactly like our two coin flip example, right? So we have two coin flips for our experiment. They are identical trials. We're flipping the same coin, nothing's changing. Each coin flip only has two outcomes, success or failure, or in our case, heads or tails. The probability of, let's say, a success, doesn't matter heads or tails, does not change from flip to flip, from trial to trial. It still remains 0.5. And these trials are independent of each other. The outcome of one coin flip has no bearing on the outcome of another coin flip. So wonderful. We have our first binomial experiment. From this binomial experiment, we can calculate what we call the binomial distribution. The binomial distribution basically tries to answer a question. It's trying to answer what the probabilities of the number of successes occurring is in n trials. So again, the binomial distribution is looking at the probabilities of the number of successes occurring in the n trials. If we have a certain number of coin flips, let's imagine heads is a success, then what you want to do is figure out, well, what's the probability of me getting a certain number of heads inside of the n flips of the coin? So let's use x to denote the number of successes occurring in these n trials. So for example, let's let a success be rolling a dice and getting a 2. So okay, instead of just doing the flipping coin example, we're going to try something a little bit more complicated. So again, let's roll a dice, and let's say a success is only getting a 2. That means the numbers 1, 3, 4, 5, and 6, that would all be a failure. Now, let's roll that same dice 10 times. Again, here n would be 10. We have 10 trials. Now, let's imagine we were able to successfully roll a 2 three times. Oh, so that's our x. X is the number of successes, 2. I'm sorry, 3. 2 is a success. So x is the number of successes, 3, out of the n, which in our case is 10, trials. So, we are interested in the probability of exactly 3 rolls of a success, or 3 rolls equal to 2. Oh, okay. How can we calculate this? Well, again, you could probably sit down and ponder a way of trying to figure out this idea of what's the probability of rolling a 2 3 times out of 10 when it comes to a 6-sided dice. But luckily, the binomial distribution helps us answer this question. The binomial distribution has a binomial probability function, and it's defined as the following. Now, this looks rather complicated, so let's break it down into individual pieces and see what we can come up with. First, let's just look at the function by itself, and then we'll get to what each half of the function means. So the function by itself is, first of all, this ratio. You see n followed by an exclamation point, then divided by x followed by an exclamation point, multiplied by n minus x followed by an exclamation point. An exclamation point. So what does an exclamation point mean in math? An exclamation point in math is shorthand for basically multiplying that number by the number previous to it until you get all the way down to 1. Whoa, that sounds complicated. So let's think about it. What would 4 followed by an exclamation point mean? That would be 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. You get it? So if we had 8 followed by an exclamation point, you would do 8 times 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. Does that make sense? So when we say we have n followed by an exclamation point, we take whatever number of trials we have, and then again we multiply it by the number smaller than it, one at a time, until we get all the way down to 1. Remember our example, n is 10. So we would do 10 times 9 times 8 times 7 all the way until we get down to 1. It's the same thing for x. So if we were to do x followed by an exclamation point, in our example, x equaled 3. So 3 exclamation point would be 3 times 2 times 1, and so on and so forth. Well, what is this left-hand side, this highlighted ratio that I'm showing you? Well, without getting into the math, this is actually the number of outcomes providing exactly x successes in n trials. So again, without getting into all the math behind it, you'll just have to trust me on that one. If you wanted to know if I had 10 trials and how many times would I get 3 successes in 10 trials, that is it right there. It would be 10 times 10 exclamation point divided by 3 exclamation point times 10 minus 3 exclamation point. Except in math, we don't say exclamation point. We call this factorial. So n factorial would be the same as n exclamation point. So again, you're just going to have to trust me that what I've highlighted here for you on the slide is just the number of outcomes providing exactly that many successes in n trials. I'll show you via diagram later. Let's look at the right-hand side of this equation. We see a little p, we see an exponent of an x, we see 1 minus p with an exponent of n minus x. Well, this highlighted right-hand side is the probability of a particular sequence of trial outcomes with, again, x successes in n trials. Let's think about it. Let's imagine, again, you have 3 successes. And let's imagine the probability of success is P. Well, if you had 3 successes, remember these are independent trials, then we could say the probability of those 3 successes would be P times P times P, or P raised to the 3rd power, P raised to the X. However, the other 7 trials did not result in a success. They were a failure. So they had a probability of 1 minus p. So I would do 1 minus p times 1 minus p times 1 minus p 7 times. Or 1 minus p raised to the 10 minus 3. or 1 minus p raised to the n minus x. So again, this is the actual calculation. If you had a binomial experiment, remember what a binomial experiment is. It's an experiment that consists of n identical trials, where again, those trials can only have success or failure. And you knew that you had a probability p of getting a success. If you wanted to know x, the number of successes occurring in those n trials, this is the exact equation that will give you that number. All right, so again, let's go through our example. Let a success be rolling a dice and getting a 2. Okay, well, what's the probability of me rolling a dice and getting a 2? Well, if it's a fair dice, it would be 1 out of 6. 1 out of 6 times I roll it, I should get a 2. Okay, so we roll a dice 10 times. That will be n. And successfully roll a 2 3 of those times. That's x. So what's the probability of exactly rolling 3 2s with a dice? Well, let's fill in some of these numbers. First, again, we have 10 trials. So instead of little n, fill in 10. X is the number of successes. We had 3 successes. We rolled a dice 3 times that came up a 2. So every time you see x, replace it with a 3. And then the probability this actually happens, me rolling a dice and getting a 2, would be 1 over 6, or 1/6. Wonderful. So now we have our equation filled in. So what's the probability that I get 3 exact rolls of 2? Or what's the probability I get 3 successes out of 10 trials? Well, it would be 10 factorial divided by 3 factorial times 10 minus 3 factorial. Okay, well, that would be 10 times 9 times 8 times 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. Divided by 3 times 2 times 1 times 7 times 6 times 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. Whew, that's the left-hand side. Then we would do 1 over 6 3 times. So we would do 1/6 times 1/6 times 1/6, or in other words, 1/6 cubed. Then we would do 1 minus 1/6 and do that 7 times, 10 minus 3. So we would do 1 minus 1/6 times 1 minus 1/6 times 1 minus 1/6 10 times. If you were to go through all of those calculations, the left-hand side, the 10 factorial divided by 3 factorial times 7 factorial would give you 120. The right-hand side, 1 over 6 raised to the third power and 1 minus 1 over 6 raised to the seventh power would give you 0.0013. Or in other words, the probability of you rolling a 2 exactly 3 times when you roll a dice 10 times is 0.155. Whew, a lot of math there. Now, I know you're thinking, okay, but how is this actually useful in the real world? Great, so now I can talk to my friends about what happens if they roll a dice or flip a coin, but I want to know something that's actually helpful and meaningful, potentially in my job. Okay, well, let's imagine that you worked in HR. And let's imagine that your company has a retention rate of 90% for your employees annually. In other words, at any random employee has a probability of 0.1 or a 10% chance of leaving this year. Okay, so if I were to choose 3 employees at random, what's the probability that exactly one of them will leave the company this year? That could be a fair question asked if you worked in HR. Luckily, this is a binomial experiment. Let's take a look. What is our binomial experiment? Well, we have 3 trials, 3 employees. Each of those employees has a binary outcome. Either they stay at the company or they leave the company. There's a 10% chance that each one of them leaves the company. Now, let's imagine that they don't influence each other. If one leaves, that has no bearing on anyone else leaving. So, okay, the number of successes here is 1. We want to know what is the probability exactly one of the 3 employees, each with a 10% chance of leaving, actually leaves the company. Well, again, this is just the binomial distribution. For the binomial distribution, we can just plug in our values. So how many trials do we have? 3. So 3 factorial divided by 1 factorial times 3 minus 1 factorial. So if you do 3 factorial, 3 times 2 times 1, divided by 1 factorial, which is just 1, times 3 minus 1 factorial, 2 times 1, then you would get essentially 3. Now let's look at the probability. Well, the probability each employee leaves is 0.1, and that happens one time. So 0.1 raised to the 1 would just be 0.1. And then the other 2 employees, they don't leave. So 1 minus 0.1, that's 0.9. The other 2 employees stay, so that's a 90% chance of that happening. So 90% times 90%, or 0.9 times 0.9. Because again, we had 2 people who didn't leave and 1 person who did leave. You multiply all those probabilities together, you'll get 0.081. Okay, so we have 3 times 0.081. If you have a retention rate of 90% for your employees annually, the probability that 1 out of 3 random employees leaves the company this year is 24.3%, or 0.243. Wow, you would think if there's a 90% chance that everyone stays, that the probability of exactly 1 of 3 people leaving would probably be smaller than that, but that's not the case. See, the binomial distribution shows us how we can calculate this. This is the beautiful part about this, is it helps us work through complicated problems in a simplistic way. Now, maybe you don't believe this number. Well, let's actually work out the tree diagram for this, right? So the first worker has a 10% chance of leaving, a probability of 0.1, a 90% chance of staying, a probability of 0.9. Okay, well, whether they leave or they stay, the second worker also has the same chances of leaving and staying. And whether that person leaves or stays, the third worker has that same probability of leaving or staying. So let's take a look. Here are the 3 ways that this could happen. Employee 1 leaves, employee 2 and 3 stay. Employee 1 stays, employee 2 leaves, and employee 3 stays. Or employee 1 and 2 stays, and employee 3 leaves. So again, we can see the 3 possible ways this could happen. Wonderful. Well, we could actually calculate the probability that each one of those ways actually happens, 0.081. Again, if we were to then add them all together, we would get our 0.243. So again, if we were to draw this out, it may be a little bit easier for you to see. Some people see things better with tree diagrams as compared to just calculations. But the end result is still the same. We see that we still have the same probability that 1 out of these 3 employees leaving is 0.243. Perfect. All right, one last little piece to this binomial distribution. We can not only just look at the distribution itself, but we can calculate the expected value and the variance of this distribution. Luckily, for the binomial distribution, the following is always true. The expected value is just n, the number of trials you have, times p, the probability of a success actually happening. The variance is just n, the number of trials, times p, the probability of success, times 1 minus p, the probability of failure. And the standard deviation is just the square root of the variance. Well, again, how is this helpful to us? Well, again, let's go back to our first binomial experiment. Let's let a success be rolling a dice and getting a 2. We roll a dice 10 times and successfully roll a 2 3 of those times. So we're interested in the probability of exactly 3 rolls of equal to 2. Well, what did we expect? Well, with 10 rolls and a success probability of 1/6, I only expected to roll a 2 on the dice 1.67 times out of 10. So by me rolling 3 out of 10 instead of 1.67, I beat the odds. The odds only said that I would have a chance 1.6 times out of 10 of getting a 2. Again, let's go to a more realistic example, though. Same idea, I have a retention rate of 90% for our employees annually. In other words, any random employee has a 10% chance of leaving this year. If you were to just look at 3 employees, we would want to know the probability exactly one of them will leave. Well, we calculated that previously. But let's look at the expected value. The expected value is n, for us, 3, times the probability that any one of them leaves, 0.1. That would mean I expect 0.3 of the 3 employees to leave this year. Now, I know, 0.3 of a person doesn't really make sense. Okay, we were using little numbers just to be able to make the math easy. But let's imagine you had 300 employees. Then that means you would expect 30 of them to leave this year. 300 times 0.1. See how this math can make things very easy for these complicated problems? So again, if you were to work in HR and you know what your retention rate is, you can answer some of these more complicated problems, all with using the binomial distribution. All right, let's summarize. The binomial distribution looks at the probabilities of the number of successes occurring in n independent trials. Now, the binomial probability function is comprised of 2 intuitive pieces. The first piece is just the number of outcomes that gives you that many successes in the n trials. The second piece is the probability of actually getting that many successes in n trials. So you take the probability of getting it times the number of times you could have that happen, and there you go. That would give you your probability overall. We also learned how to calculate an expected value from this, as well as a variance. We've learned a lot about discrete distributions in these last 3 lectures. We've been able to look at the idea of what a discrete distribution even is, how we can use data to be able to help us understand what expected values and variances can be, and now even look at a special case distribution, the binomial distribution, that helps us answer even more complicated questions. But that is the end of this lecture, that is the end of this section, and I look forward to seeing you in the next one.